because I used to wash with a washboard. I think, I don't remember whether I had a washing machine when my first child was born or not. And that was one of those ringer type things. An electric, there were gasoline. We had a gasoline thing that didn't work too well, gasoline motor washing machine. And then eventually we did get, but we used to wash on the board. And I wonder now how we ever had time, because with an automatic machine, you still take your time to wash. And I don't know how we ever managed it. We had one day of the week, I guess. And when I was home, when we were kids growing up, my mother did the old-fashioned thing where you had a big, they call them wash boilers. They were sort of shaped like a bathtub, only made out of tin. And you put them on the fire outside, and they boiled the clothes. They washed them, then they boiled them, then they rinsed them. And you put bluing in the water to whiten them. I remember that now. And then you hung them out, and good heavens, that was that was an all-day thing. More than an all-day thing, I guess. And of course, you had to hang the clothes outside because there was no such thing as a dryer. Fortunately, in New Mexico, drying wasn't much of a problem because it was the air and the wind. There's always a wind going on. So, I don't know how that boiling them. I never could see. I figured you beat them to death on that washboard. Well, let's see. Usually, dirty things you soaked the night before. It was a big process just washing. And, you know, everything had to be really clean. And, of course, I think people got their clothes dirtier, too, because they were, you know, farming, you know, working outside, and there were not pavements and sidewalks and things. But still, I never could see the boiling them. I didn't feel like you're just punishing those clothes too much. But I didn't. I never wanted a lot of trouble with anything. It's much better. That's another thing that has held women back, too. It's much easier to conform than to resist things, no matter how much you think they should be changed or how much you think that they're not for you. It's much easier to conform. But when you resist, especially way back when the people that resisted had a very difficult time, you can resist easier now than you could way back. And I think that's why we were so slow to make any changes, because I guess the woman's role was to be very docile and dependent, in a sense, but still, and I know in my family, I had to do all the business, all that, you know, my husband couldn't be bothered with anything like that. That was all mine. And yet, there are the sole decision makers, you know.
The difference being that might be different.
Well, to buy something or go to the bank or insurance policies or whatever, the car license, all those little things, you know, that take a little bit of paperwork and a little bit of doing. I used to tell him sometimes, you know, people are going to think that you're not able to read and write because, you know, just refuse to do anything that had to do with that, you know, for the house. People are going to think you're illiterate. So. The income tax, I always had to do the income tax. And just mark an X there, sign your name, and oh boy. And yet, and especially with the Latin male, they're very macho, they're very much, they're the head, they're the sole word of everything. And you see that a lot, especially you notice it a lot in Latin families where the woman really is the one in charge. You just can't admit that, really. She has to do and, you know. And even to make the decisions, too, you know.
Did you have conflict over that issue?
No, I was very dumb. Independent. No, I'm not much for arguing or disagreeing. I think I will give in unless it's a real important issue. I would give in rather than have problems, rather than have arguments, or find ways to do it without an argument, which takes a lot of time and a lot of out of you. I say one thing that surprises me. None of my daughters are independent. They're very much old-fashioned attitudes toward their husbands. which surprises me that they're living in this day and age. And well, my daughter Phyllis was just upgraded on her job. She was the first female to supervise, I guess, a bunch of men that climbed the pole. She works for the phone company. She started working for the phone company in high school, and she's still with him. She and my son-in-law both worked full-time and went to school full-time. Fortunately, they had me to take care of their child. Otherwise, she was in a complete orphan, and which I was very glad to do. Very, very proud of both of them. And she had a very difficult time on the job. Like I told her, well, you should have been prepared for that.
What kind of a job?
Supervising the mails
and
the phone company. Yeah, she was just upgraded to that very recently. I think she's been doing that for about a year. After she got her degree from school, the phone company upgraded her, and she had to learn how to climb up the pole, and which she liked. She's always been very sentimental, not much for athletics. And she had, the fellas really gave her a very difficult time, which she wasn't prepared for. Said, well, if you'd been awake all these years, you'd have been prepared. But she stuck with it, and I guess she climbs up the pole. She has to be able to climb up the poles. I imagine she just writes a bunch of paperwork all day. I really don't know what my daughter does, to tell the truth. She was upgraded to supervision, and that's when she had all the problems. She used to talk about them a lot. How unreasonable the men were, and what a hard time they gave her. And then, see, she had to learn all the tools, and they would, I think, give her the wrong names to the tools. Well, fortunately, they took her to school, so she caught on to that one right away. They would call them the tools by a different name than what she had learned. She had a little training thing, I'm sure, before they stuck her in there, because it was a completely new thing to her. But she's making it. And I guess she's very, very pleasant and very nice to look at. And I told her, you won't have a hard time for long.
What kind of job?
She's older and homelier. She would have had a very hard time for a long time. She was in the office before, I guess. She was on the switchboard when she first started. I don't remember.
What kind of things did you do with your girlfriend and your daughter? What was your time like for yourself?
Well, I guess we cleaned house. Most of the time they weren't in school, we cleaned house. Oh, I don't know. I guess we went everywhere until they got to around teenage, and then they didn't want to be seen with stuff. Well, mostly go out in the country. They were all, hunting rocks and bugs. And in fact, I think Kathy did some kind of a, oh, did I make it too cold for you? There's some of this smoke out here that doesn't help you cold. I know we used to go to the tide pools up there in Malibu. And, well, that had something to do with their studies in school, I guess, too. But how to collect the different little life without hurting it and so forth and so on, and butterflies and bugs and mostly nature studies. Oh, we used to play baseball. In fact, oh my gosh, we used to, the four little league, I was the star baseball player of Rancho de Albuquerque. That's where I went to school. We used to play baseball. We gathered up all the neighborhood kids and went up here to the playground and played baseball during the season. And I guess we flew kites, and we were very busy. And mostly they liked nature and animals. My biggest problem was trying to keep them from dragging in too many animals. At one time, Phyllis decided to raise mice. And they were always, and we had cats, which I tried to explain to her that didn't work. But the cat was always getting into the mice, and the mice got out, and the cat got them, and then mice got out anyway, and then they had babies all the time, and sometimes they eat their babies. I never was too turned on to the mice, but I went through that stage with her, and I don't know if she graduated to dogs or cats, I guess, after that. But they really liked animals, and we collected rocks and butterflies and whatever, and just liked to be outside, I guess. And in the baseball games, I don't remember any other sport we have tried to play, it was just baseball. And I was just saying now, I think Little League ruined the real fun in baseball, because we used to have some real good games. All the, and that was all co-ed, you know, not just boys, not just girls. We all just got, and some adults. And I can remember at one time, which I'm real sorry to see them stop that. It was on Saturday, and they had, that was when some of mine were going to Mark Twain. And they had the parents come, which I was always the parent that came. My husband never would involve in anything like that. They had on Saturday, and I know it was very hard for me to make it because, you know, I had a busy weekend when you work all the time. Well, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But I went, I always went, if that was supposed to be some good idea. And they had a real good response. They had mothers and fathers, and I remember we had one time we had a baseball game, the parents against the children, and then we changed it around and mixed it up, and that went on for, well, I guess till the end of that school term, and whoever the teacher, whoever thought that up, it died. But I was really surprised that they got a lot of response from the parents, and that was a real good thing, because a lot of parents don't involve in too much activity, and that was at the school, which was a very good thing, I suppose. Whoever the teacher was that thought that enough went on, changed in something else, because I don't remember this as during one term of school. But it was very successful. I know we had a picnic one time, and we did other things besides play. I just remember the baseball game, but it was a lot of fun. We did, everybody enjoyed it very much, the teachers and the kids. I don't remember too much what else we did.
Did your husband go on the outings
for the tide pool? No. No, he had his thing, and we had our thing, and that's the way it was. He wasn't interested in tide pools. He was interested in more adult activity. We used to, I guess, spend a lot of time, you know, collecting shells. Certain times of the year, certain shells wash up and this and that. And I never could escape from my kids for too long, which I really didn't want to. I really enjoyed my children when they were growing up. Well, I still do.
Were you strict with them?
Very much so. Well, they went right along. I don't remember us having too many conflicts. They weren't, they didn't really try to grow up too soon. I can't remember what, but there was an age limit when they could wear long stock, you know, hose, as we call them, and shoes with heels and things like that. They had to dress their age, and I'm sure that they felt they were dressing their age too long, that they were ready for something else, but they didn't put up too big a fight. I think they always conformed pretty well.
Were you the parent that made the decisions around their
Absolutely, activity? Absolutely. Maybe you just didn't want to be bothered.
Did you read Dr. Spock?
No, I never got around to that when I was raising children. I read little bits of it soon. I'm sure he and I must agree on something. No, I think Dr. Spock came after my time, but I think with me, whatever worked for the first one just carried on through the rest of them. And usually, it, I guess it worked. Although my children are of different natures, I'm sure all children are. But I don't remember ever reading a lot of. I've read a lot of them since my children were gone. There just seems to be an awful lot available. But I think the book never quite covers your situation. You're still going to end up making some decisions yourself. Somehow or the other, my kids just would never fit into the mold of what was written and printed out there. I always got caught with it. So I decided I'd better not depend on the book, because I better, you know, try some trial and error and see what works. And if it works to me, that's the one you're going to use. And some of the tried and true things don't work either. So you're really on your own, I think, with the... I think if you use a little common sense, you know. I always felt it was very important. Most people don't start any discipline till their kid gets older and starts to rebel. Well, it's just too late then. It's just too late. I've seen people trying to spank a 16, 17-year-old child. You're ridiculous. You spank them when they're between 1 and 3 because they don't really understand. And I'm not talking about any kind of... I'm talking about a little whack here and there, because it kind of emphasizes what you're trying to say. They don't understand too much in words. But you let them know that they have to do certain things and certain things they can't do. And you just follow the pattern on it. Because you can't start. You can't just let them have their way. And although I don't believe in letting your child cry. Let's see, when I had my first child, I think they just started out where they were all supposed to eat at a certain time. I believe it was every 3 or 4 hours, and they napped at certain times, and they did everything at a certain time. Well, I was very fortunate, because my first child did all that. She ate every 4 hours, and she slept all night without bothering and things like that. And then number two came along, and that one wouldn't do anything. So I learned that I fed her when she got ready, and she slept whenever she was going to sleep, and that's all there was to it. She never was able to... She never would follow any set routine. She followed her own routine. And the third one was very easy. You know, she just fell into line with everything else. But you just can't raise a child by a book now, because they're just not all equipped. They can't read that book, really. And I think, like I say, a lot of things. I think the most important thing is, to me, in raising a child, is to begin the discipline when they're born, and don't wait until they start to give you a problem, and then all of a sudden you're laying down a lot of rules, because you're just not going to be able to enforce them. I guess if you are with your children a lot, I think it's very difficult to people that don't have time for children to have any kind of, I don't like the word control, but at least something that controls their actions, and that you're able to build, to allow them to build a little character as they go along, so that they realize some things you don't do, some things are wrong, and some things you don't do at certain ages are perfectly fine when you get a lot older and you're equipped to handle it. But I don't care what anybody says. 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds are not equipped to handle sex now. They're just not. And I think that all these numbers and records that we have now certainly prove that they're just not. They're just not. And that you don't have to be like everybody else. You really don't. And I don't care. That's why I used to tell mine. I'm the only one that doesn't get to go. Well, you're the only one that doesn't get to go then, because you're not going. And, as it turned out, there were just a whole bunch of them that didn't get to go. I think everybody knows that one. I'm the only one in the class that has to wear... I'm the only one in the class that doesn't use lipstick. Well, too bad. It's kind of nice to be the only one. You stand out in the crowd. I see kids 10 and 11 years old now with eye makeup, and I don't care what you want to say. that's calling to the male now when you begin to, and 10, 11, 12 years old is just too young to handle that. The children dating at, these are going steady at 13 and 12 and 14 and, well, I don't know, it works pretty good, I guess. I know my granddaughter doesn't envy the ones who wear makeup, and she's 12 now. And I was very selfish. I want to keep them babies as long as I can. Very selfish. There's a little child down the street from us here that is, she would have to be 13. I'm sure she's not 14 yet. She's already tried to commit suicide, and most of the time they don't know where the child is. We're talking about night and day shift. But then they never tried to discipline her. And when she started having problems up here in grade school, it was all the school's fault. And really, and this is a sweet little child, it just makes you sick to see things like that happen. But she has, I saw her on the street the other day, she has, eye shadow and long lashes. Goodness sakes, made up like someone 30 years old. And here she is. She can't be, I'm sure she's not 14, she's about 13, she's very close to my granddaughter's age. But just, you know, she's just not equipped to be grown up, that's all there is to it. You know, let her be a child. As I say, I always had that attitude with mine because I think it probably was selfishness because I wanted to keep them babies just as long as I could. And most of the time, they were able to handle what they got into. By the time they got into it, they were old enough to have a little bit of sense.
As your girls were growing up, did you have friends who... that you would spend time with, but also have grown?
Well, I'm sure we did. We used to visit back and forth with the neighbors and the relatives. Yeah, I'm sure we did. I don't specifically remember any special ones.
Did you spend much time doing things with
the friends? Oh, yeah. Very much so. I don't remember what we did, but I'm sure we found something to keep busy. We always had a lot of fun. Amazing. I suppose we were doing whatever was popular at the time. I recall different activities that were popular at certain periods, and then something else comes along. I guess most of the time, though, our free time would have been with the family. I remember when the children were quite young. My mother lived up in Elsinore, and we spent a lot of time visiting her and going up there to visit her. And there just never was a whole lot of time that we did that. The kids used to stay up there with her. And she used to tell them those stories about Kentucky. This was very nice for them, too. In fact, they remembered that. All the grandchildren came to the funeral. I was real surprised. My brother has, he lives up in, around Sacramento now. And he has two children that he adopted, and they never were, since they moved away after he got the children, and they never were that close. And I was real surprised they came to the funeral, and the kids were always talking about those stories that my mother used to tell and all that, how much they enjoyed it and all that. They did spend a lot of time there. My children and my sister's children were together a lot with, you know, they spent a lot of time with my mother, all of them together, which was really nice. And through the summer, some of them would stay up there with her.
You confide in or talk to your
colleagues? Well, I don't recall, really. Talking to my problems about anybody much. I'm not sure I ever recognized that I had too many problems, to tell the truth. Yeah, I grew up when that wasn't popular to have problems. So you didn't want to let anybody know that you had anything. It wasn't the thing to do. Well, my sister and I were always very close. And I would say, you know, we did talk, you know, a lot. My sister knew him. And, you know, different close friends that you have at the time. But I don't think I ever recognized that I had too many problems to talk about. As I say, it was very unpopular to have problems. I was so busy trying to find a solution for them, I didn't have time to talk about them.
Did Mitch continue to live in the house after
you
had
some
problems?
Yes, at one time. Yeah, I don't even remember when Mitch moved. There's two houses over there. They were living in the front one when we came back. And I don't remember how long that they lived there or where they moved to when they moved. I really don't remember. But they were still there, yes. In fact, they were living there while I was in Albuquerque. I think my mother was living in the back, maybe. I don't remember the exact pattern, but I think that's what it was. And then when I came back, I don't remember. My sister Elsie and her husband lived in that house too for some time. I don't remember. You know, it's odd. I cannot think where my sister Midge moved to when she moved from there. I don't know whether they moved off away from here or around somewhere, you know, in the Los Angeles area. I don't even remember. That's terrible. No, I don't. I know they lived in Torrance for years and years and years. Down around that area of Torrance. They owned several homes down there from time to time.
Did she remarry after?
Oh, yeah. Her marriage, where her daughter Sandy was born, was a very brief thing. That was one of those wartime romances. It didn't, he didn't get the eye on the marriage certificate. No, I can't remember how that broke up too, but she may have still been legally married, but when she started going with Glenn, but her husband, the first husband, wasn't around, hadn't been around for I don't know how long. I think she probably got the divorce when she and her second husband decided to get married, because they got married and they had a little boy, and she already had Sandy to get the baby, so it wasn't too much time anymore. And they're still married, very happy married. They live up in Hollywood now. After buying all those homes and fixing them up just right, they ended up in an apartment. They would buy one and fix it up, and then they would see something else, and they would decide that was what they wanted, so they would spend a lot of hard work and, you know, money fixing it just right, and then go somewhere else. They lived down in Oxnard for a while. They also lived out in Banning for a while. Come to think of it, they were all over the place, right? Yeah, they lived in Banning. Was it Banning? Yeah, Banning. Or Beaumont, those two are there. Well, one of those two, maybe, I can't remember which one, Banning or Beaumont, either one. And they lived out there for quite some time, and then they lived in Oxnard for a while. And I don't remember why I don't know whether, you know, somebody's job, they got transferred, or they just decided that's where they wanted to go for a while. I don't remember. I think they were living in Torrance when they moved to Hollywood. They'd been there a long time, up in Hollywood, because that's close to her husband's job. That's why they moved up there, and I don't know why they moved around. But maybe they moved to other places. I just remember Banning and Oxnard, now that I'm thinking about it. I remember Oxnard because my brother-in-law had a heart attack, and he was driving somewhere up here. He drove himself to the hospital, and my sister doesn't drive, and I had, I call him my son. He's the closest thing to a son I'll ever have. Had this little baby that he was 2 months old, Alex. And he, his mother had him, and then she didn't have any place to go anyway. She ended up living with us, and they stayed there with us, and I just as I say, took over Alex. I really wanted to adopt Alex, but his grandmother didn't want me to. Anyway, we never did. We never did nothing formal, but I still consider, he considers me his family, and I certainly consider him mine. He's 13 now. Anyway, he was 2 months old, and I remember that because I threw him on the seat of the car and had to go down and get my sister and bring her up here, and then she was...